Microsoft has a security blunder, a honeypot network tricks cyber criminals, and Jeff Bezos' phone was hacked. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morse, and this is ThreatWire for January 28th, 2020. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. If you are interested in supporting ThreatWire over on Patreon, hit up patreon.com/threatwire. And now, onto the news. Special thanks to Joel, who linked me to this story via Patreon. According to a post on the 22nd by Microsoft, an investigation concluded that a misconfiguration of an internal customer support database left about 250 million customer support records publicly accessible via a web browser. Now, this database was not password protected, and while most of the sensitive data was already redacted, some, including email addresses and IP addresses, were included. Why were only some email addresses and IP addresses included? Well, according to Microsoft, they already use automation to redact personal information in databases. But if the data is in a non-standard format, like a space in the middle of an email address, then it won't be flagged for redaction. Now, these data logs and reports date back to 2005, and they include conversations between support personnel and customers. Technically speaking, a change made to the database's network security group on December 5th included misconfigured security rules that allowed for the exposure of the data to the web. It consisted of five Elasticsearch servers that appeared to mirror each other's data. The problem was discovered on December 29th by Bob Diashenko of Security Discovery, and it was fixed 2 days later. Microsoft found no evidence that the data was accessed by external sources or used maliciously. Now, the company did start notifying affected customers, and they stated that they are taking action to prevent future occurrences. Microsoft also plans to audit security rules, add updated tools that redact sensitive information automatically, and add alerts for service teams whenever they detect a security misconfiguration. In 2019, Microsoft also disclosed that an attacker used an employee's credentials to gain access to the email accounts of users. So thanks to the fact that customer service employees often have access to crucial, sensitive information about customer accounts, these are often found to be used as targets by attackers. Now, it's worth noting that there's not much that customers can do whenever this kind of data is exposed. One option is to use an alternative secured email address to connect with companies online that is separate from your private email address. In a report published by Trend Micro, the company is trying to address the growing concern of industrial control systems and manufacturing sectors being targeted with ransomware and malware strains. With attacks such as WannaCry from 2017, this is nothing new, but it is a major issue. Many ICSs do not even know where to start when it comes to protecting their systems or understanding why, in the first place, they are actually targeted. So Trend Micro created a honeypot to attract attackers in order to study them. The honeypot was for a fake company called MeTech, which Trend Micro created down to the fake website. They even had employees listed and AI-generated faces. It was pretty crazy. Their mock factory network was online for 7 months and attracted attackers into running cryptocurrency miners, as well as infecting it with two different strains of the same ransomware called Crisis, along with another type called Phobos. Now, Trend Micro left their robotics workstation online, and they exposed it to the internet, allowing attackers to use that as an entry point into the network. They also put VNC on the network, left ports open, and they also used the same password for multiple workstations. Attackers were totally attracted to the bait. They locked up files with the ransomware, and they used some basic vulnerabilities to take advantage of poor security controls that Trend Micro put in place. Trend Micro chose this concept to make a point to the real ICSs. The fact that many of these companies do not even take these basic security steps allows them to become targets. Trend Micro suspects that attackers started selling the mock data via online online forums because they saw more attacks as time went on. They even negotiated rates with attackers who successfully infected them with ransomware, but they never paid since this was a mock network that could be returned to factory settings. In each of these cases, they were not nation-state-backed attackers, they were common run-of-the-mill criminals just looking for easy targets. The company hopes that this honeypot research helps ICSs and factories strengthen their networks against attacks. Before we hit story number three, I wanted to say thank you so much to my supporters over at patreon.com/threatwire. My Hush Puppy Perk level patrons are awesome for sending in their fur baby photos. I love them, so keep them coming. They are adorable. Also, if you want to support Threatwire, but you don't want to be a Patreon supporter, I totally understand. I have opened up an online store of Threatwire swag so you can show off your support. And thank you so much to everybody who purchases stickers and t-shirts from that website. I truly appreciate it. Check out snubsy.com/shop. I'll put that link down in the show notes to get t-shirts, stickers, even my own digital photography, all of which help support the show. And thank you so much again for your support. Chosen by our Patreons this week is the whole story on Jeff Bezos' phone getting hacked. The ironic idea that Jeff Bezos may have been scammed by an international prince is definitely not lost on me. So here's what happened. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman texted Bezos a video file over WhatsApp on May 1st, 2018 after the two shared their phone numbers with each other, and they talk apparently all the time. Now, within hours of receiving this text message, a massive treasure trove of data started being exfiltrated from Bezos' phone and continued for months and months, equating to dozens of gigs. There is not a lot of clear public information about what kind of hack this could have been or what vulnerability was used to siphon data off of Bezos's phone. Now, according to some sources, it could have been a video file that injected Pegasus spyware, but that is not certain, and it was only named as an example in the actual reports. Pegasus was developed by Israeli surveillance vendor the NSO Group, and it is known to be used by the Saudi government to spy on dissidents, allegedly. Bezos had hired a forensic analysis of his phone, at which time it was found to be highly probable that it was attacked by the prince, allegedly. Now, while this is an alleged claim, some have made connections between this attack and the relationship between Salman and Bezos being strained. The Washington Post, which is owned by Bezos, employed a journalist who criticized the prince's leadership. That journalist was killed in October of 2018, and the Washington Post placed that blame on the Saudi government. It's also timely because in February of 2019, Bezos was blackmailed by the National Enquirer regarding an affair. This led to Bezos investigating his device to see if it was compromised, which led to the possibility that the Saudi government gave the information to the National Enquirer from his phone, which later led to the belief that it stemmed from that video file sent by the prince. Okay, so Saudi officials denied that the prince hacked Bezos's phone, and the analysis does not claim to have conclusive evidence. The United Nations has called for an investigation since they believe this is the Saudi government trying to influence the Washington Post reporting on the country. Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat of Oregon, was immediately on the case, as he always is, sending a letter to Bezos asking for clarity and full reports on the analysis findings. Now, the full forensics report was made public by the motherboard on the same day as Wyden's letter, and the report showed that a suspicious file was found, but no malware. The file in question was the one from the prince, which was encrypted thanks to WhatsApp's end-to-end encryption, so they couldn't tell if it contained any malicious code. In the full report, the investigators mentioned that they need to conduct further analysis by jailbreaking the phone to see if any malware is stored on the file system. Now, some in information security have questioned the forensics analysis report and the company behind it called FTI Consulting. These experts state that FTI should have been able to decrypt the video file downloader using what they already had access to. So what can we conclude from all of this? Well, there is no solid evidence that the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman hacked Bezos's phone with a video file, but there is lots of circumstantial evidence pointing fingers lawyers at that conclusion. More analysis needs to be done since both are high-profile figures with close ties to politics and the tech sector. Now, before I leave, I wanted to say thank you so very, very much to Kitsune, Rock and Roll, and Frank, who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you so very much. Y'all are awesome. I appreciate your support. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shanna Morse, and I will see you on the internet.
Yeah.